Hello, boys and ghouls. It's your favorite host of the most, Benjamin Dutil, with the Horror Heathen YouTube channel and the South Jersey Horror Podcast. Today with me, I have an awesome guest, Mr. Tom Omer, who plays Warden Tomas in the psychological thriller Nefarious, alongside Sean Patrick Flannery. And for those who have not seen this movie, I recommend you go out and watch it. I guess you can stream it anywhere. I have no idea, but I would recommend watch this movie immediately because it would really mess with your head, as it did with mine. And now I may have lost a night's sleep over that movie. I don't know yet. I'm still figuring that out. So, without further ado, please give a warm welcome to Mr. Tom Over. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Hey, everybody.
So, a wonderful movie, by the way, and I enjoyed every second of it because I am the type of person who likes a mind spank. So, this is
Right.
exactly what a mind spank is. And I heard there's a lot of controversy about this movie, and I don't know why. I mean, you have critics out there who like to say their own thing, but yet I guess they did do it for attention. I had no idea. But
Yeah.
I saw nothing completely wrong with this movie whatsoever. But other than that, could you please tell us a little bit about yourself if you could?
Yeah, sure. My name's Tom, and I actually grew up in Indiana, small little town in Indiana. When I was growing up there was actually like 1,800 people, and now it's expanded. There's like 100,000. So when I go back home, I barely recognize it anymore. But right out of high school, I joined the Army, and I was in the Army for 3 years, and then I decided to go to college. So I went to Indiana University down in Bloomington. And while I was down there, they were shooting a film called Breaking Away, which was nobody thought it'd go anywhere. Ended up getting won Academy Award for Best Screenplay. It's all about the bicycle race that they have down in Indiana University, the Little Five. So they're filming this film there, and they were looking for extras to, fill in the background. And so they drew a lot of us from campus, and I was in a fraternity, so a bunch of us from the fraternity got in as extras, and I kind of got to see the movie making, the way it was done, everything. And I thought, this looks pretty cool. So I packed everything up and moved out here to LA, and been here ever since. And just been plugging away. It's been a roller coaster ride. There's been some really good years, and there's been some really tough years. So it's just plugging away and keeping at it, and getting some great projects.
Sounds fantastic. Thank you for the service, by the way, from one vendor to another.
Oh, sure.
I appreciate
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Same story as mine. I mean, I 2 days after graduating high school, straight off the basic training in Great Lakes, Illinois for the Navy. It was nuts. I mean, I had
Yeah.
the recruiter asked me, "Do you want to go to Great Lakes during the summertime or the wintertime?" I was like, "Well, seeing how it's up there in the north, I don't think I want to go during the wintertime whatsoever."
Yeah. Yeah, it
But
makes a
you're
big
going during,
difference. Yeah.
but going in the middle of June anyway, it was still hot. It was sticky, muggy, humid, and they had this thing called heat condition 5, where we
Yeah.
could not do any exercises whatsoever outside, and they had done the barracks.
Right.
I
Right.
was expecting Great Lakes to get nice and cold, blah blah blah, but no, it's up to
Yeah.
sweat. I'm like, geez, man, are you serious?
Yeah. I was kind of saying I took basic at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, and I didn't go the next day, but I went. See, I graduated in May, and I was in basic training in July. So a couple months later, but it was July in Missouri, and so it was pretty hot too. I know what you mean.
And I did Army as well too, and I did my AIT, well, the first half of my AIT at Fort Leonard Wood, so
Oh, okay.
yeah, it was Charlie Bravo 169. That was my
Oh,
barracks.
okay.
So and then I did finish the second half. They moved us to Gulfport, Mississippi, to finish the second half of our training, because I
Yeah.
guess they're gonna do so much at Leonard Wood. It's like, okay, we can't finish this here. We have to send you
Yeah.
somewhere else, because I guess the
Right,
barracks would
right.
get overcrowded. I have no idea. I don't know what the story was. I just knew I was going to Mississippi. I'm going from one hot, muggy place to another. I'm like,
Yeah,
really?
yeah. That's the way they do it, though. That's the military.
Hey, Mississippi was it was worse than, oh my God, I don't want to talk about it. It was nuts. So, quick off the wall question: is it true that the movie, the genre of this movie, could be misleading? I mean, instead of being a psychological horror, it's more of like a religious thriller. That's what I've been reading online. And
Yeah, it's a
yeah.
yeah, it depends. You know, some people say it's a psychological thriller, some people say it's a Christian horror movie. It kind of falls, you know, kind of in between the two. It's definitely a psychological thriller. It's like you said, it really messes with your mind, but there is a Christian element to it because it deals with Satan and how the devil, you know, enters your lives and makes you do things you don't want to do and that sort of thing. So yeah, it delves on that. And what you were saying about the critics, it's funny when it first came out, you know, Rotten Tomatoes, you know, the way that works, and the audience, Rotten Tomatoes was 96%. You know, they loved it, the audience, but the critics, they gave it 18%. And I'm thinking, why 18%? You know, so I, you know, was looking at some of the critiques, and what was interesting is that the audience score, there was like over 2,500 people rating it 96%, right? The critics, there was 18 of them, but they still only gave it, you know, 18%. So I thought, well, what didn't they like about it? So I was reading some of the reviews, and it was interesting. One reviewer actually said, well, you know, the acting and the script and the sets, that was all good, but you know, these Christians, the way they talk about it, so you could tell the guy had an agenda, right? And that's why they didn't like it. So I think a lot of the negative reviews are people who are either, you know, non-believers that think bad things about Christianity. I think that's where you get the bad reviews.
Right, the scrutiny just messes everything up, and
Yeah.
it ruins like for people for the people who actually want to go see it, because I used to be like that. I would read the reviews like, okay, maybe I not want to go see this, and then I actually go see the movie like, and I'm very impressed with it. I was like, okay,
Yeah.
this works.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I heard a lot of bad things about the new Exorcist movie, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna go form my own opinion, so I went to go watch it. I was actually thoroughly impressed.
Were you?
However,
Okay.
I cannot get any actors from that movie whatsoever because of the scrutiny. So it's same thing with the nun. I'm trying to get so hard to get Bonnie Aarons, but she's getting a lot of scrutiny from her role as the nun. So she's not doing any interviews, no conventions, nothing. I was like, man,
Wow.
this sucks.
Yeah, it's too bad. You
Yes.
know, it's amazing when some people, like you say, you should just see it on your own and form your own opinion. You know, some people have agendas and their reviews are biased. By the way, it is streaming on Amazon Prime for free. If you're an Amazon Prime member, you can watch it for free.
You hear that, people? Get on Amazon right now and watch it. Get to it. So,
But Sean
what
Patrick
intrigued
Flannery, I mean,
me?
I was just going to say Sean Patrick Flannery, his, you know, they said if it weren't for the subject matter, he would have been up for an Academy Award. But he has won some, I think it's ICFF, International Christian Film and Feature or something like that. He won Best Actor for that. But he kind of plays a double role in there. He plays the guy who's condemned in prison, and he also plays the demon when he's possessed by him. So he kind of shifts back and forth between the two characters and just does it brilliantly.
I wish I could land him on my show so I could ask him about that, but he's
Yeah.
very tough. He's very tough to get. So,
Yep, he is. Yeah.
what intrigued you about this movie and why did you audition for it?
Well, actually, I met Carey Solomon and Chuck Kosselman. They're the writers and the directors. I had met them years ago, probably 4 years ago, at a networking event, and excuse me, they were presenting, you know, the way they do films, and most of their films are faith-based, so they're kind of talking, and the audience was pretty much faith-based filmmakers, writers, directors, actors. So they're talking to them, and one of the things they said I thought was really interesting. He said, "We don't need more Christian movies." And everybody kind of looks at each other and like, what did he just say? And he goes, we need more Christians making movies. And you know, there's a big distinction there, you know, because Christian films and faith-based films get a bad rap because there's so many out there that just aren't good. You know, the acting, the sets, the script, you know, a lot of them aren't very good. But when you get a really, really good script, and this script was amazing. And when I talked to them after their presentation, they found out that, you know, I was an Army veteran and I was also a police officer too. And so they really liked that kind of background in an actor. And so they said, "Hey, we're getting ready to work on this film, and it's going to be shooting in Oklahoma. We'd like to send you the script, see what you think about it. There's a really good role in there for you." And okay, so they sent me a script, and I read it, and I just go, "Wow, I would love to be involved with this." And they said, "Okay, part's yours." I didn't have to audition for it. You know, they had seen my other work from my demo reel and stuff, and they kind of knew of some of the stuff I've done before. So basically, they just offered me the role without even having to audition for it. So I was really impressed with them. And when we got there, it just, you know, as an actor, and I'm sure some of your audience members out there are actors or in the entertainment business as well. The big difference is the script. You know, as an actor, if you have a really good script, it's really hard to mess it up if you're an actor, you know, because the words just flow so well and the scenes flow so well. It becomes real difficult as an actor if the script's really bad, you know, and the, "Oh, how am I going to say that line?" You know, that kind of thing. So the script was just so good. It just flowed, and it made it easy. And Sean Patrick Flannery actually said, when he read the script, he said it's probably the best script he's ever read.
That's fantastic. I mean, I'm a sucker for possession films, whether like it depends. And I guess me being, I used to be Catholic, so I guess like possessions, exorcisms, that religion aspect drew me into this kind of films. I mean, yeah, me being a proper Catholic, I mean, I still love watching movies about possessions and exorcisms, and I still believe there's a higher power, yada yada yada, all that stuff. So. Like you said, with Sean Patrick Flannery flipping back and forth and like doing like the whole, one minute he's the inmate, next second he is the demon possessing the body. It just makes you wonder, is like, does this stuff actually happen in prison?
You know, it's funny. The prison where we actually shot, in a working prison in Oklahoma, and the prison was built in 1909, and it was so eerie. And one whole wing, like when we would shoot in this section of the prison, they'd lock down the inmates in this section, you know, so that we weren't in contact with them. But there was one wing, and it was the wing that looked really, really old. It was the original wing. Built in 1909, and it I talked to the warden himself, the real warden there, and some of the guards, and they said that that wing has been closed for like 25 years. There's no water, there's no power. It's just, and so we shot some in there because it looked so gritty but what's funny, he said that the guard said, "You know, this place is haunted." He goes, we'll be walking our rounds in the yard, and we'll see lights flickering in that section, and there hasn't been power there for 25 years." And he said, and then they'll hear showers running and inmates laughing, and you know, they hear all that coming from that wing. And so they go, it's definitely haunted out there. So that was kind of cool. And then, you know, the way they set up base camp at a film, you know, they have the honey wagon and the dressing trailers and the makeup and all. So here we were in the courtyard of the prison. You know, so you see these trailers and everything with the barbed wire and the guard towers. Really, it was really surreal shooting there.
I wouldn't be able to do it. I mean, much respect for the guards, man. Because if I hear like showers running and people laughing like nothing, I'm like, nope, not for me. Gotta go.
Yeah, I'm going home. Yeah.
Like, here's my resignation. Here's my keys. Peace.
Yeah.
So
And another cool thing to go ahead.
I've read in previous interviews that you did online. They say that your character Ward Moss, you and your character have a lot in common, because you say, being a veteran, being a police officer. Can you elaborate more on that? Because I wasn't able to read too much about that at all.
Yeah, sure. A lot of times, I would say in the body of my work, I'd say probably 95% of the roles I do are good guys, guys in authority, a lot of military, a lot of police, detectives, you know, pilots, you know, things like that, people in authority. I've only done one that I can think of, one role where I was really, really bad. And I played a really brutal hitman on Criminal Minds. And so that was kind of a departure from my usual stuff. But what makes those kinds of roles appealing to me is that, you know, a warden is basically, in fact, the warden that was there, he had military background stuff. So a warden that oversees a prison like that, It's very militaristic. They have regiments, they have things they do. He's got watch over the guards. So, you take, I took my military experience, my police experience, and just kind of embodied that with the warden. And just, it was one of those characters where it felt like fitting into a really nice club. It just fit really well.
I can imagine. I mean, I'm also sure you talked to the warden, that person, to gain some insight about what it's like being a warden as well. I mean, I can't
Yes.
imagine being a warden of a prison. That's just way too much responsibility. It's just.
Yeah, I wouldn't, and there's a lot of evil in there too. I mean, there's prisoners and they get sent to prison, so maybe they, did some drug deals, or maybe they, had a bunch of DUIs and had bad times. Maybe they, did a robbery or something, and they're doing their time. They're not necessarily the evil ones, but there are some, and I know firsthand from working as police officer, there are evil people out there. And I think the only way to protect society is either incarcerate them for life or execute them. That's the only way. You can't let that evil back into society. And it's so prevalent. And the warden and the guards were saying, yeah, there's some evil in here,
I do have firsthand experience. My last duty assignment in the Army was Fort Leavenworth, on the United, you know,
Oh.
the max prison for the military. I was there working
Yep.
as an engineer. I was an engineer attached to an MP unit, but I was doing DPW inside the prison. And so, yeah, I was like, I don't know, man. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough, and when I was a police officer too, it just, growing up in Indiana, I was pretty naive when I came out here, and I joined LAPD, and the good thing about it, it has one of the best police academies in the country. It's 7 months of intensive training, and then they release you out into the, onto the divisions. And people don't realize what happens between midnight and 6 a.m. They're asleep in bed. They don't know what goes on. There's some wild stuff that goes on at night. And actually, you remember the riots in '92, where they burned half LA down and everything? I was working with LAPD during those riots, so I saw some really just like, you just go, seriously? You just can't believe people do things to each other. It's mind-boggling.
So, more questions about the movie. I know we kind of digressed a little bit. So, was there anything like external to help you prepare for this role, like as warden?
I think one of the things, reading the script and everything, I just again, kind of going back to my background, I was kind of getting into that military mode and that authoritative thing, like the warden's in control of the whole prison. He's in control of the guards, he's in control of the inmates, he's control of the food service, everything. So I knew it had to be a very authoritative type of role. And one of the things I did, when I went to wardrobe, they had me in like a suit, but the suit they gave me was kind of a Western cut, and they put me in cowboy boots and a Western cut jacket, which was kind of cool because that kind of, it was Oklahoma, so it kind of. But then I had my National Defense ribbon. It's just a little pin I put on my lapel, and I asked the director, Carrie and Chuck. I said, "Hey, is it okay if I put that on my lapel?" And they said, "What is it?" And I said, "Well, it's a National Defense ribbon." Most people, when they look at it, they wouldn't know what it was, but if another veteran saw it, they'd say, "Oh, he served." And so he said, "Yeah, that's perfect. That's the warden. Yeah, wear it." So I actually wore that pin, and that kind of, that kind of always kind of gives you a little reminder, of that authoritative type of thing. And then also I have this ring. This is my fraternity ring from college, and I have, well, I got this in college, so a bunch of years ago. And I literally have taken it off maybe three times since then. And so I wanted to wear it in the film too, because again, that's kind of, a fraternity's a little different than prison. But you're in, it's a guy thing, there's a bunch of guys and a bunch of so you can relate to, so that kind of helped too, knowing that. And it was funny, there's a scene where I'm on the phone talking to the governor, and so I have my hand up like this talking on the phone, and my I have a lot of fraternity brothers on social media and stuff, and they said, "Hey, was that the beta ring? Were you wearing that in the shot?" So that was kind of cool. I had a little shout out to him as well.
That's super cool. I can't imagine what it's like. I never went to college. I did the whole online thing, which I never had the chance to build like the rapport or cohesion with frat brothers. So that's something I wish I could have done, but it never happened for me. What was it like working with Sean Patrick Flannery? Did you meet him beforehand in order to build that cohesion
No,
and rapport with
I
him?
actually, we were all staying in the same hotel in Oklahoma City. But I'd never met him before. And when I met him, I could tell that he was like really intense and really into the, and he's not one of these actors that have to be called by the character name when they're off the set and stuff, but I could just tell that he was really preparing for the role. So I didn't, "Hey, how's it going? Yeah, we met him. Yeah, okay, see you on the set," kind of thing. And then when he was doing the scene with Jordan, the first scene is they when they meet is they sit across from a table, and they went for 18 minutes without stopping, first take, without missing a line, without missing a word. And I was in Video Village watching this, and the directors were like looking at each other and just like, "Well, we were going to cut at the end of that, but they get, let them keep," and they kept going and going, literally 18 minutes without stopping, full pages of dialogue, like 20 pages of dialogue without missing a word. And with that, they were so prepared. It was so inspiring to see them. In fact, on the days that I wasn't shooting, I'd show up on set just to watch them work. I mean, that's how good they were.
That's awesome. I mean, I can't, I don't know. I think working in a prison as an actor would make me really nervous. So I just can't imagine having that stuff in the back of my head, knowing like, okay, there's actual prisoners here, rapists, murderers, stuff like that. I can't do that. I did have to know that in Leavenworth, man.
Well, it was, they made it real safe for us. We rarely saw the inmates. If we did, they were like walking all chained together, going from one building to another. But basically, when we were shooting like in the yard, they were all locked down and they were just looking through the windows and stuff. They couldn't, we didn't have any direct interaction with them at all. So I felt real safe. I didn't feel, I just felt a little bit of maybe creepiness there because it used to be a capital punishment prison, so you just think about since 1909, all the people that have come through there, it's just like there is that kind of evil cloud kind of hanging over. But I never felt unsafe, I always felt, nothing's going to happen here. So
Good to know. I mean, I wish I felt that way in Leavenworth, but never did. Because I was afraid to walk down the hall. I was afraid to walk down the hallway, and I didn't know what was going to happen. Because all you have is a whistle and your badge. That's it. When you walk into the hallway with in the maximum security prison for the military, it's nerve-wracking. I'm like, what is going to happen? And then I think after like 6 months of working, I was like, I need a desk job. I can't do this anymore because
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I
put
don't
me in an
blame you.
office, please.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, your character in this movie is very intense, and you play the warden. How would you compare that structure to any other character you played before?
I think it's similar. I think this role actually was probably the biggest role I've ever had as far as time on set, dialogue. The call sheet, the way they have number one, number two, number three, number four, on the call sheet. Well, Sean Patrick Flannery was number one, Jordan Belfi was number two, and I was number three. So I felt a huge responsibility, having that much. That much dialogue and that those many scenes. I especially with Sean, keeping up with him, I had to, really be prepared. And so I think it was intense in the sense that there was so much dialogue and so much memorization. And I felt a big responsibility for that. But other roles I've done, like I've played, four-star generals and a lot of cops and detectives. So there's always that kind of authoritative vibe to it. So in that sense, it was kind of similar. I wasn't, really out of my. Now, if I had to play in a musical and, do song and dance and stuff, I would be so out of my wheelhouse. I would be terrified and I'd be horrible, So knowing that this character is kind of similar to the other characters I've done, and so it was a little bit of an ease to that.
I now remember, it just hit me the back of my head. Are you familiar with Ken Arnold, the actor Ken Arnold?
No.
He's also a veteran, and he plays like the exact same roles, like generals, police officers,
Okay.
sheriffs. It's like it's uncanny how the both of you are so similar. It's just,
Yeah.
but he's
Yeah,
also
you know,
very
there's,
talented. He's also a very
yeah.
talented actor as well, so.
Yeah, a lot of, I think now, especially nowadays, now maybe not so much when I first started in the industry, but now I think a lot of the shows, they like realism. And for example, Terminal List, that show, Jack Carr, based on Jack Carr's books, and Chris Pratt plays, in Terminal List. When they, it's all about Navy SEALs and their operations and stuff. Well, most of those guys are real, actual Navy SEALs. So when they're, clearing rooms and when they're holding their weapons and stuff, it's all so real because they have that. And that's part of the reason why I book so many of these cop roles and detective roles and stuff, because A, they know I know how to hold a gun. They know I know how to handcuff somebody. They know I know how to talk on the radio. Don't look like an idiot in uniform. That kind of thing. So I think nowadays they're even like medical shows, for example. A lot of times they'll hire real nurses or real doctors to, get involved with it to give it that sense of realism.
That makes perfect sense. I mean, and hopefully one day I get a role in a movie. I don't know. I'm still working on
Yeah,
it. So,
you should.
speaking of the movie, the movie and the scenes are very intense, like throughout the entire duration of the film, and you can see that with the two person scenes and the atmosphere in the prison. Do you have any favorite scenes and non-favorite scenes of the film?
Yeah, I one of my favorite scenes, there's a scene towards the end of the film where the psychiatrist who's been interviewing the inmate, he's the psychiatrist has to determine whether the inmate is insane. If he's insane, then we can't execute him. So, but if he's sane, we can go ahead with the execution. And me as a warden, I've been wanting to execute this guy for 10 years. He's been in death row for 10 years, and every time it comes up, no, there's some kind of legal thing or some kind of something or other. So there's a scene towards the end where the psychiatrist is really being rattled by this guy because he's really getting into his head. And there's a scene where we're out in the yard and it's pouring down rain, and I'm smoking a cigarette and I'm talking to him and I'm just telling him, basically, there's some guys who come to this prison and they do their time and they made a mistake in their life and they go on and but this guy, he's not one of those guys, so it's that kind of, but the thing I loved about it is it was almost kind of the way they shot it was almost kind of grainy, and it's at night and it's smoking a cigarette and it's pouring down rain, and it just gave it a really kind of a cool feel to it. And kind of an interesting side note, when we were shooting that, because the script said, it's pouring down rain and everything, not a cloud in the sky. So what they do is they bring in this huge water truck and it's got this big boom with a bunch of shower heads on the top of it. And so we're getting ready. Okay, everybody ready? Okay, cue the rain. Rain comes down and action. And so now we're talking, it's pouring down rain, and we get done and like, cut the rain, and rain stops, that was kind of cool, that they do that. And but there was very little CGI in this film, which was kind of nice too, because some films, 90% of them are CGI, and you can just tell, yeah, that's CGI. But this is, it's so gritty and so real, they didn't need CGI.
I was convinced. I mean, I didn't even spot the CGI in the movie at all. I mean,
Yeah.
usually I get
Very
tuned out really
little.
fast.
Yeah, the only CGI, there was storm clouds moving in and lightning, and obviously there's not a cloud in the sky, so they had to add that. And then at the end in the execution chamber, you know, that they had to do a little bit of sex. I don't want to give away too much of the movie, but you know, they had to do a little special effects there too. But yeah, you're right. It's 98% non-CGI.
Way movies should be made.
Yes.
Forget
Exactly. Yeah.
the AI, forget the CGI, go back to
Yeah.
practical and make the world spin again. That's all I had to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, it'd be kind of hard to do like a Star Wars movie without CGI.
Well, what most people don't know is that 99% of the materials used in Star Wars, George Lucas, they're plumbing parts. That's all they were, is plumbing parts.
Yeah. Right.
So,
Yeah. Yep. They were. Yeah. Yeah, they had the models and everything, and yeah, even shows like Back to the Future when they had the train, you know, chasing the DeLorean. That was all just miniature, you know. So that's cool because then to me, miniaturization like that looks more real than CGI.
exactly. So, I just wish Hollywood would go back to practical special effects and makeup. I really do. I mean, I'm
Yeah,
an 80s kid,
yeah.
so I mean, I'm used to seeing practical stuff. So,
Yeah.
you've been a fantastic guest. It's been really good talking to you. Do you have any upcoming movies or projects that you are allowed to talk about that people can look out for?
Well, yeah, actually I acted in and produced a little film that we shot in West Virginia last summer, and it's in post-production right now. And it's a great little film. It's a family film. And so can't really talk a lot about that, but that'll probably be released later in the fall. That's a really, and it has to do with veterans. In fact, we had five veterans working on the film. And so that's a, you'll hear more about that. And then there's a couple other things that that I'm auditioning for, that getting a call back. In fact, this afternoon I have a really good call back for a feature film that shoots. And so yeah, so things are picking up, you know. COVID just, you know, that really set a lot of, you know, actors back, and COVID, and then the writer strike, the actor strike, you know, the director, all the strikes. So it's just now starting to pick back up. So there's some, I think this year is going to be an epic year.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about because during the strike, I could not get anybody for my show except for actors from independent movies that were not part of the Screen Actors Guild, which I'm okay with, which is fine. But now that I can get back, I'm like, you people are killing me here. Come on.
Yeah, I
It's
know.
just
It's
so
tough.
hard to
It
get
hurt a lot of
actors.
people.
So,
It hurt a lot of people. Yeah.
anyway, that's all the time we have for now. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really do appreciate
Oh,
it.
yeah. Hey, it's great meeting you.
It's been a fantastic guest. And again, thank you for your service. I wish you nothing but best in your career, a prosperous future, and good luck out there in
Okay.
Hollywood. I mean, and it's been great. And I will see you on the big screen.
Okay. Thanks, Ben.
All
Appreciate it.
right, take care.